Today is a time of rejoicing. It's a day for rejoicing. We have grown as a congregation. You can see the numbers to my right, to your left. We've grown to the point, and hopefully we were growing in spirit, more importantly than numbers. And we've gotten to the point where we can consider appointing deacons. And that's a great time to rejoice. In Acts chapter 11, verse 28, it's recorded that Barnabas had seen the grace of God when he visited the church in Antioch. I have to tell you, brethren, there's sometimes when I assemble here and I see the grace of God here. And that's also something to rejoice about. I've got limited time this morning, so what I have to cover, I may have to put some of that into the next part. This is a two-part sermon on appointing deacons, qualifications, and appointment procedures. And I want you guys to realize I'm going to make the notes for this available to everybody, those who weren't here, those who want to go over the notes. This is important. Larry and I we feel we've got some men worthy of consideration, and we want you guys to embrace this process. Spend a lot of time thinking about it. Spend a lot of time meditating on it. And pray about this as well. So, obviously we're going to start with the text. And the text is in 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 8 and through verse 13. And I want you all to read along with me as we read the qualifications for deacons. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Here's the scripture on the qualification for deacons. I've added in some words that I think help understand this passage from other translations. And we can see that they're to be reverent, which is also known as men of dignity. Not given or addicted to wine. Not greedy. Not fond of sordid gain, and holding the mystery, the hidden truth of the faith with a pure and a clear conscience. And we're going to talk about all these aspects that feed into the qualifications of a deacon in great detail. So there's going to be some references, cross-references that I want you to check that I may not be able to have time to get to this morning. But I want you to understand, I want you to check everything that we reference or talk about this morning. Deacons, this term deacon is a Greek word, diakonos, and it simply means a servant. It's really kind of cool. The song that David just led, Room in the Kingdom, it's a great song for this idea of being a servant. This song has a lot of aspects that we're going to talk about. Actually, I appreciate the songs that Bill led as well, and especially his reading a scripture before we started. And I really appreciate Andrew's series that he's been going through. But this song really summarizes a lot of things about this term deacon, which was translated as servant. And you can read the slide in front of you. One who executes the command of another, an attendant or minister. The word usually has the ordinary meaning of servant and is applied to civil government. You see that in Romans 13, verse 4. And then you see it referred to certain people. We're not going to read all these scriptures, but pardon me. I picked up my wrong Bible when I went up here. I know. A lot of people make fun of me. I've got a lot of Bibles in my pew. Sometimes that's not a good thing. let's look over to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. In verse 1. Here's the term, diakonos, used. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea. So here's our word for deacon. That's where the term deacon in the Greek comes from. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers, okay, there's the word for deacon, ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. So here's that term being referred to for Apollos and Paul. And then in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 7, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. Again, that Greek word for deacon is in there. There's a reason God labeled men such as deacons. The word deacon is probably the most fundamental word in the New Testament for service. The deacon is a man whose life is dedicated to serving. He's a servant. And Jesus referred to this type of attitude and uses the same word in Matthew 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. In the New Testament, we see that there's a specific work also talked about. In the Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. So here's a specific reference to this service, this sense where it's a specific work. And then we see it in what we read in 1 Timothy. And then this is one of those things that happens with translations in English. It's an anglicized word, kind of like baptism is anglicized from baptizo. The same is the case for deacon. It's a word that's anglicized by the translators to distinguish between the work and service of Christians in general and a qualified man. It's an essential work. This is a work that God has created. And there's qualifications given, just like there's qualifications for elders given. 1 Timothy 3:8 states, likewise, deacons must be. Notice this term, likewise, means that elders must be qualified men and so must deacons. The man who will serve must be qualified in all respects mentioned. And then the qualifications for a deacon are just as important as the qualifications for elders. Must be requires that as long as he is a deacon, he must have these qualifications. A congregation can exist without deacons, yet there's something lacking when we don't have deacons or we don't have elders. Notice in Titus chapter 1, in verse 5. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded. The deacon's work is not to oversee. It's not necessarily to speak publicly. It's not limited to material needs. And it's not a temporary work. A deacon's work is a service for proven or tested men. They're to be ready servants to fulfill any scriptural service within their ability. And the deacon needs to be available and responsive in order to help the brethren of the church and assist elders. Being a servant. And these apply to a deacon, but they also apply to all of us. We need to have a proper attitude toward ourselves. Notice in Matthew 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. When you get down to it, that's a really good definition of service, isn't it? Denying ourselves, taking up the cross that Jesus has given us. and following him. Let's look over to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 10. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Another great verse to show the proper attitude. It involves personal sacrifice. And here we got the example of the Good Samaritan from Luke 10. It doesn't always wait to be asked. If you look closely in the parable, the story of the Good Samaritan, you don't see the Good Samaritan waiting to be asked to help. He sees a need, and he fulfills that need. And the service is impartial. I want you to look. Everybody look with me over to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40. Matthew 25, verse 40. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. This idea of impartiality. Whoever has a need, that need is fulfilled with the same zeal, no matter who it is. I think that's the idea here. And then Galatians 4:18. And this is kind of an interesting verse in the New King James. It really comes out. Galatians 4:18. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. And here that term zealous really means eager. It's from the Greek word for eager. So we see these ideas, these attitudes of being a servant certainly would apply to a deacon. There's rewards, good standing and great boldness in the faith. 1 Timothy 3:13. He'll gain greater confidence in the gospel and in his role as a servant for Christ. With such boldness, he will become more effective in his service. He will be entrusted with new and greater tasks. He will have the respect of fellow saints and a great influence for good. So these are a lot of general things that help us understand really what a servant is. Now we're going to get into the specific qualifications for a deacon. And I want you, if there's a cross-reference, I want you to check them out. I want you to pay attention. Really embrace what the scriptures tell us about this. The first qualification is reverent. And some translations translate that men of dignity. Because a deacon, here's from a commentary on this that I thought was good. Because a deacon has greater access to people who are hurting and weak, he can more easily exploit them. So Scripture warns us against hasty appointments. 1 Timothy 5:22. Let's look over that passage. Because I think it's got more general meaning than is used here. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. A deacon is a man that's not only fully known by the congregation, but his character is known as well. He's respected for his character, his dependability, his serious-mindedness, his reverence for God, especially in the realm of integrity and self-control. So that all goes into this idea of reverent. Not double-tongued. This is interesting. When you look at the English Standard Version, it says devious in speech. And that's kind of, we'll get into the meaning of this Greek word, but it's very interesting. Not double-tongued. I guess the way I would put it in simple terms is not saying one thing and doing another. You know, that would be one way to do it. Or saying one thing to one person and saying something else to somebody else. Not double tongued. But when you go through this, it's honesty in speech. You know, we live in a world that everything is spun. We have spin doctors in the media. And they take something that's said and they change it to kind of have a different meaning or a different slant. When you're talking about a deacon, they need to be honest, not only with others, but also with their own shortcomings. This term, dialogos, Notice what it really means. Primarily means saying the same thing twice, saying a thing to one person and giving a different view of it to another with intent to deceive. For those of you who are parents and have children, have your kids ever done this? They go and say something to the mom, and then they say the same thing in a little different way to the dad. That's kind of the idea here. It's not to have one standard for self and friends and another for everyone else. They need to be upright and straightforward men. Deacons will be reporting to elders. Therefore, they need to be men who are reliable in the presentation of facts. Deacons must not speak anything but the truth in all matters and to all people. In dealing with people and their problems, the deacon also will be subjected to the temptation of spreading gossip. Let's look over to Ephesians chapter 5. Or actually, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So, not double tongue, not given or addicted to much wine. And the Bible is full of admonitions and warnings against the dangers of wine and strong drink. In Proverbs chapter 20, let's turn over to the passages in Proverbs here. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Proverbs 23, starting at verse 30. Those who linger long at the wine, those who go in search of mixed drink, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast saying, "They have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink?" These are powerful warnings about drink. And the deacon, you know, when we're talking about a deacon, does not need a drink to get him going or motivated. Rather, he has the Holy Spirit's message that gives him all the motivation he needs. I love this passage in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. That term dissipation means just wasting. You're just wasting yourself. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. 1 Timothy 3:8 indicates alcohol is a very dangerous substance, something so dangerous that even spiritual men like deacons need to stay away from it. Therefore, the man who thinks he can handle alcohol has a mindset contrary to what God seeks. Next qualification, not greedy for money or dishonest gain. We see this same admonition for elders in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, and in this passage, it's got an extra word in there. It really helps. It says, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. If you have the New King James Version, some of them have a note for covetous, and it's for loving money. And that's really the idea here. The idea is a deacon is not one who loves money. You know, we have this idea, same idea for elders and bishops and pastors, but for deacons, they may be in charge of funds and distribution. They may neglect spiritual duties in the pursuit of material gain. They might neglect spiritual development, personal spiritual development in the pursuit of money. Greediness for money can lead to other sins, such as lying and theft and jealousies. One of the translations is kind of cool, is renders this, or to questionable money making. Money is not the number one thing for a deacon. Money is not the priority in his life. And he isn't one who cuts ethical corners in business or is preoccupied with getting rich quick. Notice Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Jesse's not here, so I can say, well, I'll get in trouble for it probably anyway, but she was upset that she wasn't getting paid more at her job. And I pointed this verse out to her. Said, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that's the attitude that we need to have and deacons need to have. Holding to the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. Here we have this idea of the mystery of the faith. And we see that reference in Ephesians. And the best reference that really fits the context of the deacon is in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 16. Actually, it's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So here's this idea, holding the mystery, the hidden truth of the faith, with a pure or clear conscience. The idea that a deacon is nothing more than a church janitor or a maintenance man is really flawed. That's not what we see in the scripture. These men have a good grasp of the scripture, of the truth, the gospel. They must be practicing it and teaching it. And they hold forth to it with a clear conscience. A deacon is stable, steadfast, and living a life consistent with his understanding of what is right in the faith. Colossians 1:23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. The deacon knows his Bible and is one of sincere character. He should be able to freely discuss the truths found in the gospel message, his convictions, and his understanding. And really, these verses apply to all of us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I think that's a great verse for all of us, but especially for a deacon, this would apply. 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. So we see the idea of the deacon is the holding the truth with a pure conscience. The deacon needs to be tested. Tested prior to serving. And here's some commentaries that help a little bit. To test or examine to see whether a thing is genuine or not. Some other translations, let them also be tested first. Should first be tested till approved. They must first undergo a scrutiny. A thorough examination of character must precede the deacon's appointment. And I think this is really important to realize. Selection is not the idea that if a church makes him a deacon, he'll stop criticizing. He will start behaving like a Christian, etc., etc., etc. Let's place him on the nomination for deacons. If selected, maybe we can make something of him. That's not the case with deacons. A deacon must demonstrate his willingness, availability, and eagerness to work and serve before being appointed. And then the church proves the men when the selection is made from among them. Obviously, no unqualified man can serve. Being found blameless. Blameless here means that which cannot be called into account. Unreprovable, unaccused, nothing to take hold upon or proven innocent. A deacon's life and character must be totally above reproach. Vines explains this, that this implies not merely acquittal, which is not a word we usually use. Well, Bill probably uses acquittal. Most of us don't use that word very often. But the absence of even a charge or accusation against a person. Deacons are not to be hastily appointed, are to be found blameless by the congregation. And then I've got a couple lists here. Blameless doesn't mean the deacon wasn't dead in sin. He's one that realizes he was in sin and he's become a Christian. It doesn't mean he doesn't ever sin. Notice 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. He's not one that does not ever sin. And he will not be. It doesn't mean that he won't be accused of wrong. And I want us to look at a really interesting cross-reference. And it's in Job chapter 1 and verse 8. Job chapter 1 verse 8. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" Think about this. Was Job accused of being wrong? He had three friends that did. Remember? They said, "Hey, you're being punished because you haven't been following God." Job's an upright man. So if an upright man can be accused wrong, surely a deacon can be. So that may happen. Notice Matthew 5:11-12. "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So this idea of blameless doesn't mean that a deacon might not be accused. He may be accused of being wrong, just like these other good people we talked about. What does it mean? He's forgiven of sin. We see this in Ephesians 2:8 and many other passages. He's repented of sin. He's walking in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. And we're talking about blameless in reference to deacons. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." And then there's nothing Satan, the accuser. He's called the accuser in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. There's nothing that Satan can use against him to shame him in the church. He's a person against whom no evil can be proved. And this is from a commentary by Clark. "He's a person of sound moral character, solid, dependable. Therefore, he has a solid reputation." We talked about a bunch of the qualifications, and we'll continue in part two. If you're not a Christian this morning, you're in your sins. And as I've got on the screen, Jesus is the answer for you. He can wash away all your sins and make you spotless, pure, and blameless. Believe in him. Confess that he is the Son of God. Repent of your sins and be baptized. Just like Ananias told the Apostle Paul in Acts 22, verse 16. For those of us who are Christians, we need to be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. True servants of God and our fellow man. A lot of the scriptures we covered in this lesson apply to each one of us as Christians. And this should be our goal, is to be like Peter describes here. And the beauty of this is we can look at ourselves and we can make that right today. Think about how you are doing in your service to God and man. That's really what that term deacon is all about. Think about it. And if we realize what we need to do something, whether we're a Christian or not a Christian, we can all be pure and blameless this morning. And if we can help you in any way, please come forward while we stand and sing the song that David selected.